on 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. Lobster Sunday Brunch, a very special guest. I'm very happy to have her join us from her home studio in Los Angeles. I suppose that's where you are. Arianthi, welcome to Lobster Sunday Brunch.
Hi, thank you for having me. How are you doing today?
Just as fine as I can. I used to have an engineer who would, when you say how you're doing, he would answer, operating within acceptable tolerances. So I think I am at the moment. I'm very excited to speak to you after being aware of your career for a long time and the big hit that you had that we're going to play for everybody, a song that they'll go, oh, that song. Yeah, I remember that song.
That song. Yeah, it was like a lifetime ago, but yeah.
Well, I've had a few lifetimes in this business then, because I was a heavy metal DJ in LA in 86, and that wasn't where I started either. I started in New York as a jazz DJ.
Oh, wow.
Jazz and blues, and then segued to rock. I noticed on your new song that will play on the air, Sinner's Hymn, that you're playing a Gibson Flying V. The first person I ever saw play that guitar was Albert King. In New York at a nightclub.
Oh, wow.
And the tone you get is fantastic. Let me ask you, how did you come about using a Gibson Flying V? Where did that come into your guitar world?
You know, I'm a huge Albert King fan. I'm a huge Jimi Hendrix fan. And, you know, that song is a real blues story. I actually wrote it as, you know, it's a classic blues story. And as him, it's like, you go to every city, you know, kind of running from your demons, you know, playing the bars. It's about, you know, a classic blues guy just, you know, running away from his demons. And that's kind of the whole idea of it all. So I really wanted to capture, you know, a tone which was like, kind of like a buddy guy, Albert King, like kind of Hendrix feel to it. You know, a lot of people say it's like Hendrix meets Nirvana kind of thing. But it's really, you know, kind of old school kind of sound. So, and I've been working with Gibson on a J200, actually, Signature Series guitar. And I've been with PRS for a very long time. Everyone's like, oh, you know, that's surprising, you think. You know, the thing is, I've been, you know, I play different guitars here and there, and that's the thing. It's like, I've come out with many, you know, Signature PRS guitars, and I'm still with Paul Reason's guitars, too. And I'm with Gibson. And so it's kind of like when, you know, the owner of Gibson sent me the Flying V, and to check this guitar out, and I'm like, oh, it's rad. So it really fitted the song and everything, that's the story behind that, and I just, you know, I dig it, absolutely.
We're talking to Arianthi, who has a new album out, the first one you've released since 2013, and I'm really excited because you are really mixing it up on this with rock and maybe a little touch of blues, and, you know, you get funky too. And the thing about Sinner's Hymn, the song we're talking about with the Flying V, is that it's right down the middle. If you want to call it rock and you want to put a label on it, classic rock, anything else. I mean, we stretch the envelope here on 97.7 The River, and especially on my show, it's because I'm one of the last of the Jedi DJs. I play what I want to play.
That's awesome.
When to back up a little bit, we're a kid now, obviously, and if you're listening, you can tell Arianthi has an accent. You're from Australia. Is Aussie a good term? Do Aussies like to be called Aussies?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. And I don't know if anyone else does. I mean, I have enough. I think, you know, honestly, coming from Australia, I'm very proud of that. I had a great upbringing. I love the country. I miss it a lot. I miss my family. I miss being over there. And, you know, the thing is, it's like with everything going on right now, it's very difficult because I only see my family over Skype and FaceTime. And, you know, we're all kind of going through this crazy time, especially being a musician and making a living touring. And that's kind of been, you know, playing shows and obviously getting a lot of joy out of doing that too, you know what I mean? And the fans too. I mean, I'm a fan of music. Like, I love going to shows. So missing out on it on both ends, performing and attending. But we have to make sure it's safe for everybody. So, you know, figuring out different ways. And so the whiskey show, I'm playing to five cameramen that have all been tested with COVID, and we're all, you know, the band, we went to rehearsals the other day and we're like, oh my God, do we hug each other? Do we stay the hell away from each other? And I'm like, It was weird. I got to tell you, it was fun, though. It was a hell of a lot of fun. It felt like a lifetime ago that we've actually played. So it was pretty wild. And I've played the whiskey many times, and I love it. You know, I really do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's what I can say, and I can't wait. And, you know, it's like just getting able to play. I mean, we'll be playing a children's birthday party barbecue in the backyard. But
yeah, so you do children charities. I know that.
It's going to be a good time. And I think that's what we all need right now. I mean, we did it as musicians, and I think people that are stuck at home, you know.
Yes, musicians and venues are really hurting in these times. We're talking to Orianthi, who has a new album out, the first one you've released since 2013 on 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. And I love what you've been doing with Instagram. For one thing, you've been putting out a lot of music on Instagram, playing at your home studio. You have a kind of a name for your home studio. What do you call it?
The Rainbow Lotus Room. I actually do a radio show from there on Monsters of Rock. It's actually every Thursday.
So you're one of us, too, on this side of the radio.
I've actually run a radio thing live from my place here, my studio. I've got to tell you, it's like everything's so up in the air and, like, crazy. And I've been busier than ever right now because of the whole, you know, COVID thing. It's like everything's over the phone, and I just got to get away from the phone sometimes. I turn it off, and I'm like, you know what? I need to just, you know what I mean? Like, just disconnect for a second.
Right. We're talking with Orianthi, and we're here on Lobster Sunday Brunch. I'm Lobster. I don't have a problem with anybody going by one name, one word.
Yeah.
Ori is just a gifted guitarist, and you've been on more than one list of the top 10 female guitar players of all time. And I really hear that. I wanted to get back to a song here we're going to play on the river, and then we'll talk more about one of our other DJs you've toured with, Alice Cooper, when he's not doing a radio show Monday through Friday here on the river. We have this song. We mentioned that song. I mean, it was a big international hit. It came on the heels of your preparing to be on the This Is It concert with Michael Jackson. A lot of people know that Michael Jackson was preparing for the tour, but you were that guitar player that was going out on tour with Michael Jackson, and then, according to you, got released, and it went to number 17 in the U.S., a top 20 hit. And it was really an eye-opener for a lot of people because you have a song where you sing and you play guitar, and a lot of people know you for your ability to shred, but you can also fit a song. And what that song did for me was I was going through an intense breakup, one that I had to push away from somebody, and that song really spoke to me. So I'm glad to play it here, according to you, and then we'll continue to talk with Orianthi, who's our guest on today's Lobster Sunday Brunch here at 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Orianthi, our guest from her home studio in L.A., new album coming out in November, simply titled Oh, and we're going to hear one of the songs off of that, plus a live show you did with Billy F. Gibbons and ZZ Ward and others. Orianthi, again, thank you for joining us on Lobster Sunday Brunch on the River.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for having me, you know, and thank you for your support and everything with this new record. I'm so excited about putting out new music.
I've been waiting for 7 years to have new music from you to play.
You know, there's been so many other things I've been doing. I've been keeping myself very busy and collaborating. Yes. And doing some projects and touring and all that stuff. And then, you know, I met up with my good friend Marty Fredrickson in Nashville, and we decided to make a record together in 28 days.
Ah, wow.
And we made it a year ago, actually, and decided to put it out. Well, we're going to put it out earlier, and things, you know, with this industry, it's all over the place and bizarre, as the music world goes. And so when things kind of panned out and worked out, and we found, you know, the label came along and everything just sort of, you know, worked, we could put some music out, figured, okay, I wasn't sure when it was actually going to come out, and the label was like, we're going to put it out now. And it's during a pandemic, we're putting out a record, which, I mean, it's different. I mean, usually playing shows and accompanying and doing things like that.
Yeah, go out on tour in support of a new release. It's
that's the usual thing. So yes. This is a, you know, this is very different. situation. So it's been, you know, it's been trying times for everybody, I think, you know, and musicians especially, like, you know, we love touring and doing all that, and keeping a good sort of headspace has been really important too, is just being creative and checking in with each other and friends and family and all that kind of stuff. And as I said, I'm just keeping creative. I've actually written another record already.
Wow.
So there's one ready to come out probably as soon as I can get back into the studio, you know?
You're ready. You're ready to just have this burst of energy and new music and getting out there. And the song, according to you, I mean, people are still going into stores and hearing it. I mean, it plays in my head sometimes. And that's a good thing, because in my DJ mind, there's always something playing. so you're on my internal playlist. Orianthe's with us on the river, and we heard According to You. You also, I mean, you have so many credits, I almost don't know where to begin. We have a DJ Monday through Friday from 6 to 11 p.m., Alice Cooper, and when I was doing heavy metal mornings in L.A., he would come hang out at the radio station. Now he's a DJ in addition to everything else, but you were with Alice Cooper's touring band for a number of years, correct?
Yeah, that was such a blast, celebrating Halloween every night with Alice. did that for about, 4 years now, that, and it was a blast. I mean, every night was so fun, and just dodging knives and Frankenstein and snakes and waking up on the bus with a python staring at you, and you never knew what was going to happen. I mean, I got to tell you, that whole experience was so fun. And they'll be family forever for me. I mean, Alice is just one of the most coolest people.
He is.
So insightful, very intelligent, incredible entertainer, very encouraging of others.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I found the way that he runs the whole ship as, you know, the general of the whole situation. He's very even. Like, every day he's in the same mood. Like, there's no crazy up and downs with Alice. It's always, he's in the same mood. He's very, you know, he does his 110% he does on stage every night, and he encourages us to do the same. And I got to tell you, it's such a smooth, like, fun experience, like, touring with them. And even when crazy shit would happen, he would still be just calm and just like, you know, we'll get through this. Everything's good. You know, uh-huh. And it's so wild. And his whole demeanor, and his wife is lovely, Cheryl. I just adore his wife and Calico and everybody, and the whole band of brothers, really. I mean, I didn't know what it was going to be like, you know, getting on that bus with all those guys, and how they were going to be like, oh, you know, there's a little, you know, this Czech guitar player's coming in, and all stuff. They're actually really cool, and they were very sweet to me, and
wonderful.
I call on them a lot. Yeah,
I think the world of Alice and Bob Ezrin, his longtime producer, and also when I was doing mornings in San Francisco, one Halloween we got flown down to Universal Studios for an Alice Cooper Halloween show. So I've been there, been there, done that. By the way, we played Black Sabbath Paranoid, and you're doing so many things on Instagram, and people can. What I love about watching you on Instagram is I'm really up close watching your guitar work, your fingers flying on the key frets, and sometimes you use a pick, sometimes you finger pick. It depends, I guess, on what song you're doing, but it's really a...
It actually depends if I can find a pick. Because they usually, it's the same as if I can find my socks. They go into the same vortex. I don't know where.
But you're at I Am Orianthe on Instagram, and we had a little bit of a conversation because you were mentioning that your neighbors only complain when you play Black Sabbath.
It's the strangest thing. It's so bizarre. And I was playing, I play so loud too. Not purposely, but it just happened. Because I have my loud orange amps here, I have my standard champ, and I have different, you know, guitar, like different amps, whatever. And they're loud. Even my Rocker 15 orange amp is, like, small and loud as hell, but even I have it set low. But, yeah, acoustically, I was rehearsing to play. I, for some reason, you know, I get asked to play Sabbath a lot, which is funny, and I sing Ozzy songs. And I'm a fan. I love Sabbath. I love Ozzy. So I was learning War Pig the other, not too long ago. And mind you, that the week before or the few days before, I had full band rehearsals in my studio. Right here. Mm-hmm. I have a drum kit, everything set up. And then, like, few days later, I'm rehearsing Sabbath acoustically in my living room. And then I get three or four people knocking on my door going, what is going on? And I'm like, it just must be Sabbath. It's like conjuring kind of thing. It's like it just cuts through the walls.
Yeah, I said something about it, and you replied, and then I felt honored that you replied, but I was laughing with you at the whole phenomenon of playing war pigs, and that's when they come knocking on the door. Would you turn that down in there? You know, it's just...
I know, it was acoustic. I'm like, guys, like, what? I was like, what am I doing? What's mm-hmm. wrong? I was like... And then security, I think, even called me to complain, too.
Oh, no.
This whole situation.
When I was still a kid in New York doing college radio, I managed a band when I was 19, 20 years old. And we had an apartment in Brooklyn and rehearsed in the living room facing the street. And then one day the cops showed up and said, you know, if you turn those amplifiers on one more time, we're taking you all to jail. We don't care if you don't have anything we can bust you on. We'll find it anyway. Have a nice day. Goodbye. The desk sergeant was apparently tired. So watch out for that. I mean, you know, you've got neighbors there in L.A. We're talking to Orianthi, who is originally from Australia, if you couldn't tell the accent. And she has played with Alice Cooper and a number of other artists. I want to play one of your new tracks on the album that's being released. You dropped one that's called Sinner's Hymn. And we'll get to that after a couple of quick things to take care of to keep the electricity on here at 97.7 The River. Classic rock for the North Bay. Don't go away. 97.7 The River. Classic rock for the North Bay on Lobster Sunday Brunch today. Orianthi is our guest on the phone from her home in Los Angeles. And again, pleasure to have you. You were at the Whiskey A Go-Go last night, and your new album is coming out called Oh. It drops in November, but you started out with a song called Sinner's Hymn, which we're going to hear right now. Tell us about this song. It's kind of dark in a way, but it really rocks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was listening to a lot of Buddy Guy. I was listening to Albert King and just blues, Hendrix, and everything, and 90s kind of rock and In Excess and all these different bands and Nine Inch Nails as well before making this record. So when I went into Nashville and made the record with Marty, I had all these different sort of things in my playlist and just experimenting with sounds. And I had this song that I wrote, demo, as soon as him, and I had the verses and everything written out. And it was, you know, classic blues story. It's definitely about, like, some musicians and some, you know, people that just run from their demons and keep on making the same mistake, and they run from every city to city. And it's kind of like, when you read the lyrics, it's definitely, it's a story, and that kind of speaks for itself. And I was just kind of going there. I wanted to write that classic sort of blues story, you know, and had a lot of fun recording this song, you know, with the octave fuzz and just the way the guitar sounded and everything. It was very live.
It was a very live video, too, the lyric video that your assistant cut, Audrey.
Yeah, we had to cut. It was a crazy story what happened. We were actually going to shoot the music video for that, and we all got tested for COVID, and I had a false positive.
Ooh.
So yeah, I got a positive test, so I freaked out and then called off the entire shoot, and we needed to, you know, hand in the music video to the label, and we didn't have one. We couldn't make one in time, so that was on an iPhone, everybody, because what happened was I freaked out and everyone got sent home. They drove in from Arizona. We had these, you know, things going on. And then I was just like, oh, crap, like, I've got COVID. I get colds, everything, and I'm freaking out. Honestly, I'm having a panic attack, basically. And then I'm like, wait a second, I don't feel sick, though. I don't, you know, like, and so I said, how could I haven't been around anybody, you know? My boyfriend doesn't have it, you know, everyone else around me hasn't got it. My assistant tested negative. Everyone's negative around me. That's weird. So I get two doctors to come home. Come to my home and give me blood tests and different tests and, you know, the other swabs. They both come back negative. But I get, so I'm negative. And it was just such a stressful, stressful week. So
I'll bet.
That video was made against a wall with an iPhone.
But it's got that.
Thanks to my lovely assistant, Audrey. He stayed with me during the time that I thought that I had COVID because she could have fled, run to the hills. You know, it was crazy, but yeah, I don't have COVID, as far as I know. Neither does anyone else around me. It was wild. But yes, that's why these tests are a little bizarre to me.
You have to have them more than once. And if you get a positive, it's like getting a second opinion. Get another test. That's the protocols in sports right now. They don't just go, they stop if there's a positive, but they don't just go with that. And it's a good thing that we even have a test for it right now, because COVID-19 is a real little bug that doesn't play by the rules. You can have no symptoms at all and still be spreading it, which is why it's scary to get a positive test, even if you feel okay. But still, you don't want to spread it to other people. That's our public service word as we get into the song, the video of which you have a lyric video out there. I guess people can go to I Am Orianthi. You have that on, that's your tag on Instagram, where I've been really enjoying seeing what you've been up to during the pandemic. And here's the song from the album being released in November. It's Sinner's Hymn, Orianthi on 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. 97.7 The River, classic rock for the North Bay. We're having a great time with Orianthi on the phone. Ori is from Australia, and you have that unforgettable Australian accent. In that set of music, we started out with the new song Sinner's Hymn from Orianthi's album O, which will be released in November, but we have this song, and also in there, Alice Cooper, whose band you toured with, and Bon Jovi, and for a while, you were around Richie Sambora. You guys did a lot of things together, including touring. You called it RSO, but, you know, Orianthi, I think that you should have had your, you know, and people don't know that's your real first name, but you have a middle name and a last name, and I thought you should have called it RSOPP. So you would dominate the letters.
Very funny. You know what's really funny, that when people look up RSO, it comes up with Rick Simpson oil.
Yeah.
But it's funny, we had a great time making that record. I'm really proud of it. And, you know, Richie and I, we used to love and support each other, and everything's cool, and we've been writing together more and everything, and he's doing his solo record. And I, you know, he's heard mine, I heard his, and that's awesome. And yeah, I mean, that was, we're really proud of that record. We put a lot of time and effort into that with Bob Rock. So the doors are open for that.
You're one of the women guitarists that I really think the world of. You're on lists of top 10 female guitar players of all time. But you and I have a mutual friend, because when I was last in L.A. in last October, I went to the Tom Petty birthday party and benefit, and I came face to face backstage with Carmen Vandenberg of Bones UK.
Oh, love Carmen. She's awesome. Isn't she a great player? Great person, too.
Exactly. And she was coming out of a dressing room and I was in the hall, and we just said hello to each other. I said, and I had my recorder with me. I said, can we talk? Who are you?
Yeah.
I didn't even know who she was at that point.
Right.
They finally got on to Seth Meyers' show that they were in the studio to record back in March in New York, and all excited. So it's kind of this club. They have a song that called Girls Can't Play Guitar. And
yeah.
I beg to differ. And so it's really a bonding thing among the women in rock, that you are proving that so wrong. And women really need, and part of what I feel as a DJ and someone who actually curates the music, is that I need to continue to do that. I've managed a band with a lead violin player who played it like it was a guitar. Do you know, by the way, if you look up Orianthi on Wikipedia, you get 10 pages.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
My God.
Have they written about me?
Life and career, you know, philanthropy, discography, filmography, awards and nomination, equipment, guitars, amplifiers, references, external links. All of that takes up 10 pages. I don't even think I have a single page.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, and I've been at this for quite some time. I mean, you know, I started as a rock DJ in college, and, you know, it was in another century. So you were born in 1985, back when I was in San Francisco doing overnights, and we were playing Beat It by Michael Jackson. Isn't Beat It the way that you started playing with Michael Jackson? You played it for him?
I did. That's how I got the gig. Well, he actually saw me play without Carrie Underwood at the Grammy Awards, and that's how I got
right.
to meet Michael. But
mm-hmm.
he called me and said, "Could you learn Beat It, Joe Diana, and want to be starting something?" And I learnt those songs and went in and played them for Michael, and he hired me that day, and I got to work with him for quite a bit of time, and it was honestly such an honor. And he was such an incredible person too, an entertainer, and I just feel so honored that I got to have that time with him.
He was a sweet, sweet man. He didn't deserve what happened to him. And personally, doctors prescribe things without knowing what they're doing to the people they're prescribing to, too often. And, you know, people are just waking up to that.
A lot of stuff that happens, you know, and this is a crazy industry, and there's a lot of different things that happen. And, you know, I mean, the pressure of so many things, too. And when you're at the top like that, it's a whole different world, and you know, it's pretty wild. And it's just about surrounding yourself with the right people, and it's about making sure that you check in with yourself and spiritually, mentally, everything, and being good. Because I got to tell you, it is tough. It's not easy. And I think to anyone who wants to get into the music industry, I say this to a lot of kids, they think of the flash, they think of the light, they think of the, you know, the stardom and whatever, and the celebrity. It's not about that. It's hard work. It's mentally challenging. It's really crazy. It's crazy hours. It's 24/7. It's having a lot of passion for what you do. And it's basically when you get a bit of success, that's when the work starts, like, immensely. Like, you're working your ass off before you even see anything. And then when you get a bit of success, you get to keep on working at it. And then keep on working at it. And then some things hit and some things don't. And you never know what's going to happen. And you just put out to the universe positivity and also having an open heart, and also keep on learning as much as you can, and never take anything for granted, and have gratitude. That's what I always say, because when you don't have those things, it's, you know, you can shut off from the world and become quite, I think quite a few people get very jaded in this industry, and it's very easy to fall into that spiral because of the way that some musicians are treated sometimes, you know, and the way things happen and everything. I mean, you know, we've worked, as I said, like, in this industry, whether you, in your field with what you do, and, you know, being a musician, being a writer, whatever you do, it's a 24/7 thing. It's being on call. It's like, you know, you do a lot of stuff for free, you do a lot of stuff that, you know what I mean? Just,
exactly.
Just do it. You know? And a lot of people don't know that. And they think it's all, like,
glamour.
Fancy and glamour, because they see Instagram. That's filtered, children. Instagram is not reality. And I got to tell you, if they saw the reality, you know, it wouldn't be so colorful.
No, it's so not. It's absolutely not.
The filtered life that's presented to everybody, and I like to say this, is that's the show. That's showbiz. That's entertainment value. That's what we're here to do, is provide a good time to people. And
exactly.
Let's have a good time too, but we're servants. And being, when you sign up to be an artist, which was when I was 6 years old, when I picked up the guitar. And
yeah, your dad gave it to
song,
you, huh? Right? Yeah.
You've got to know that, you know what I mean? That's what you do. You perform,
yeah.
You entertain, you do it, and it's 24/7, and you never stop, because and there's something that's kind of, that's in me that is just a calling, where I want to get better. I want to do different things. I want to collaborate with different artists. It's a hunger for that always, you know, and
absolutely.
That never stops. So it's always about the passion and continuing no matter what happens, because there's always going to be huge hurdles in the way. And it never stops, really. It's a crazy, crazy world of music and entertainment field.
I have some jokes about show business I'll save for the next time we have a conversation. We're talking to Orianthi. Did you hear that little bit of New York come out in the word talking?
I love it.
Well, you know, I moved west when I was 21, but I was already aware that music was my life and it was going to be my life's work. And when I was a kid at the Y, I had a choice between guitar and accordion. And mom said, take accordion. That way you can entertain people all by yourself. Well, that wasn't the right choice, but, you know, one lives with one's choices. But I got into radio in college and decided instead of being a veterinarian, a DVM, I'd be a DJ. I just got my initials crossed up. But it's really a great pleasure to know many musicians that I've known in my life as a DJ and managing some artists that I really appreciated enough to put my life on the line for the crazy life that they're going to have if they want to strive for fame, which isn't the goal. It's the goal is to put something out there that makes people feel better, that makes it livable for everybody. And the best musicians I've ever known in my life, like Tom Petty, is one of them that I knew from day one when he was first starting out with his band. It's that feeling that you have for music. Got to tell you, before we go and say goodbye to you, because we're going to have a great live moment, and I want you to tell us what we're going to hear and why you were there. One of the best interviews I've ever gotten to do was before a show for about an hour with Billy F. Gibbons of ZZ Top. And he was just about to have a book out, and I had the first copy. He had never seen it. And we're backstage in his dressing room, a coffee table book about being a gearhead, and it's all about cars and guitars. And
I love it.
He autographed it for me, but he had never seen his own book. And he was one of the best, intelligent, fun interviews I've ever gotten to do. We spoke for nearly an hour. ZZ Top went out and did a great show that night. And when I do an interview, my goal is, and in your case, I don't need to have you rediscover the joy of your own creation, because Orianthe, you're in the process of doing that, putting out your first album in 7 years. You've worked with everybody under the sun nearly, and one of them is Billy F. Gibbons, and this is on his own YouTube page, this great live moment. Now, where was this concert? ZZ Ward was putting it on. What was it about?
That concert, that was done, where was it? In Nashville. Yes, Sky Go Live, and it was in Nashville, and we had a blast doing that, I remember. And Billy Gibbons, I mean, I supported ZZ Top in Australia when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
I knew Billy from when I was 16, which was pretty crazy. And he's such a great, I mean, insane. ZZ Top's been such a big influence on me. And being able to, you know, jam with him is always a freaking honor. And you kind of, after it happens, it's not during, because you're kind of like, man, what the hell's going on here? And then after it happens, you go, oh, shit, like, I got to play with Billy Gibbons, like, ZZ Top. Like, that's insane. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. I never take any of this stuff for granted, and I'm so grateful to be on the stage, to be able to share a stage with someone like that. You know, I mean, he's like a monster player and, you know, writer, everything, musician, everything. So, just very grateful, very grateful.
Well, it's the attitude of gratitude that makes a lot of difference in your life, especially when you have to go through the rough patches of life, and we're all going through one right now together. Orianthe, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Let's do it again. Maybe one day we'll get to do it face-to-face rather than on the phone. And
that'd be wonderful. I'd love it. And you're up in the Bay Area, right?
Yes, I'm in San Francisco proper, but my radio show is out of the North Bay in wine country. I don't know if you like wine.
I actually do. Well, I'm from Adelaide, where Barossa Valley, where all the wine comes out of.
Ah.
And, yes, and you know, I do like my white wine, that's for sure, here and there.
To quote Monty Python, a lot of people poo-poo Australian table wines. One of their best bits.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have like such great wine coming out of Barossa Valley, and I was big into red wine for a minute, and now I'm just like, white wine is always good with dinner sometimes, you know, Pinot Grigio and that kind of stuff. So I'm very much into that.
When we launched this weekly 5-hour radio show on the river, my first sponsor was the B.R. Cohn Winery. And Bruce no longer owns the winery, but he was also the manager of the Doobie Brothers from the get-go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
cool.
It's all intertwined around the vines, so to speak. And I'm looking forward to meeting you face-to-face, to having you play the Bay Area again when we can do these things. And congratulations on putting the Whiskey A Go-Go back on the map because all the venues need it. And it's one of the places where so much history has happened in L.A. And then we have this recorded in Nashville with ZZ Ward and a whole bunch of great musicians. And Billy F. Gibbons, when he points at you and says, play, you really take it on. And you have such a great tone in your parts in this. And the video is at the Billy F. Gibbons YouTube channel if they want to see this concert. My listeners are very appreciative of great guitar players. And Orianthe, you're one of the best. So thank you for joining us again today. And we'll have that great live moment coming right up.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, we'll definitely chat soon, and I can't wait to be in the Bay Area, hopefully when everything's safe, for sure.